re-look at your definition of productivity. And I would even ask you to think of why productivity, like, is a measure of success for you. Like, why is that the thing? Why isn't it feeling joy?
Welcome to the Grow Tribe. I'm Melissa McGowan, and I have been supporting teams and people grow for over 2 decades. So it might sound like I have it all figured out, but that is far from the truth. In my early 40s, I experienced my great energy crisis. It brought me to my knees. I was living and leading in survival zone, either doing or feeling healthy, but never at the same time. For myself, my family, and my career, I realized I needed to make some changes, and my biggest learning was to manage my energy. I felt more connected and alive, and I became the practicing chief energy officer of my life. And this is where the real growth started. I needed a tribe. I looked up and I realized I was not alone, and neither are you. Go to Grow is about connection with real and messy growth. The failing, the learning, the healing, the vulnerability, the bravery, and the aliveness, not just the glossy outcomes. We'll help you connect the dots between your energy and the impact you desire to have in your life. Our guests help create space for you to grow. They provide insights, inspiration, and information. We'll call them the practicing chief energy officers of their lives too. Go to Grow helps you navigate the rocky road towards greater growth for you. Welcome back, everyone. I have a little question to start today. What's something that you're not getting to right now, yet you know if you make progress on it, you'll feel more in control and less guilty? I'm so busy, she said. The office is so noisy. There are so many meetings. There are urgent issues like literally popping up everywhere, left, right, and center. My team need me all the time. I kind of interrupted her and I said, yeah, and what else? Oh, and I'm experiencing so much self-doubt. Never at this level before have I felt so much self-doubt, she said. I'm like out walking or I'm in the gym and I'm just constantly second guessing what decisions I made that day or what I didn't make that day. I'm wondering why I was even promoted. I'm not sure if I've got the right skills. I certainly don't feel like I've got the right technical skills, to be honest. In fact, what was my boss thinking? So how do you actually want to feel, I asked her. Well, that was a tough question for her. She kind of said, well, happy, I guess. Like, and I said, yeah, what else? And she said, well, I'd love to feel more confident. Drum roll. Enter the confidence plan. Now, for those in Australia who may be aware of a really cool group in Queensland called Confidence Man, who I absolutely love, that's not who we're talking about right now, but tell you what, I recommend a listen. No, we're talking about the confidence plan. So I asked her, when did you last feel confident at work? Just think about that. And she had to think about that for a while. And she said, well, a while ago, I shared a draft of something with my boss that we had been talking about. I knew it was important and we had a great chat. But I have sat on that ever since. I haven't done anything else on it. And, you know, I sort of said, okay, let's just explore that a little bit. And she kept sort of saying she'd been really ruminating on asking herself why it was that she couldn't take action on it. And I said, you know what? I think it's about less why right now, and it's more about what and when. What action would support you actually feeling more confident this week? And that was the confidence plan. What is in your influence and control that you can do this week that'll make a meaningful difference to you, to your mojo, and your confidence? And it wasn't that hard for her to come up with 3 things. She said, you know, I need to make some progress on that thing I've been avoiding. That piece of work, I need to move it along, like the deadline is looming. She also said, I know that I feel better if I move my body each day, and I really want to catch up with my friends on the weekend. She is not alone. Someone else said to me just last week, he said, I have been hiding in my comfort zone. He said, what is wrong with me? Like, I want to be a really great leader, and I've been promoted, and yet here I am hanging out down in the weeds. He was experiencing that double bind of like, I'm not focusing on this strategic plan that my boss needs, and now I'm kind of beating myself up about not being the leader and the performer that I want to be. So let's just call it right now and draw a line in the sand. Like, I've been supporting people perform at peak, like high performance, for literally 20 years, and I've never seen or experienced or heard so many of us struggle, understandably, with our productivity right now. What are the expectations of ourselves? What are the expectations of others, you know, at work and at home? And that feeling of guilt and shame that we have tied to that perceived, you know, lack of productivity or lack of progress that we are experiencing, particularly when we're in the very reactionary survival zone. So that's what we want to explore today. We want to explore productivity. We want to explore productivity for the now. I want to help you check in with yourself, considering the kind of polarities and the extremes of compassion right down to avoidance, and maybe suggest some practical tips to help you reduce your overwhelm and support you make progress with compassion and feel more confident as a result. So when I was thinking about this important topic, I thought, who can I chat with that I know will have some gems and some insights and some really practical advice for us? And of course, Kristen Swanson came to mind. So Kristen has been with me on the Grow Tribe here before with all of us. We spoke probably just under a year ago about her journey navigating breast cancer and her growth ever since. And I would love to welcome Kristen back today to talk about productivity and overwhelm and shame for the now to support all of us. Welcome back to the Grow Tribe, Kristen.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. Now, I know that you are passionate about this topic as well. You are in the US at the moment, in Seattle or the Washington state, I should say. And it's summer over there, and people are racing back to a sense of normal life. And I was thinking about it this morning. I don't think it matters where you are in the world, whether you're trying to have your summer, whether you're trying to get back to some sort of normality, is that even possible? Or if you're in somewhere like Australia where, you know, more of the country is experiencing lockdown at the moment than ever before, in the UK, you know, there's all sorts of stuff going on. I think everyone's grappling with these same issues around productivity. And I'm just wondering, Kristen, like your thoughts to start with on how can we maybe reframe this area of productivity for the now? Because I feel like it, you know, it is obviously around producing and outcomes, and it's got kind of a masculine overtone to it. Yet it also makes me think about progress and achievement and joy, and context is so much, you know, so relevant for us right now. So yeah, just your thoughts on kind of productivity for the now.
Yeah. Okay. So I have been experiencing a lot of what I call productivity shame from a lot of people right now. It's this feeling of not getting to the right things. It was sort of exactly what you just talked about, right? Like, I didn't get to X, Y, and Z that I had planned to today, whether that's because, you know, we're getting back to normal life and there's plans and things happening and you're trying to have a summer, or it's just a normal like tape that plays in your head of you wanting to achieve more and like this sort of like harsh expectation that we might have on ourselves. So a couple of things that I've been really like talking to a lot of clients about lately, when they experience that shame, one is to just like relook at your definition of productivity. And I would even ask you to think of why productivity like is a measure of success for you. Like, why is that the thing? Why isn't it feeling joy? Or, you know, I mean, there's something that is just innate that where we want to do more. And this is exactly what you're talking about, is a little bit more like the masculine and something that maybe we've been taught and maybe it helped us to get ahead in one area of our career in the past. So just taking a look at the definition of productivity for you and why you put so much weight on productivity. Those are two things. And then with the productivity shame, what I really like to help people uncover is, first of all, to to like speak those words out loud, because I think what we do is that just happens in our head and we sort of shame ourselves and get into this like shame spiral, you know, like maybe at night when you go to bed and you haven't done the things that you wanted to do. But just like talk to a trusted friend or, you know, a coworker or something about how you're feeling that way and like get it out of your body. Because there's something about when you speak the words out loud that you realize, oh, you know, that is kind of an unrealistic expectation. I actually did get some of it done. But then also paying attention to, okay, that is trying to tell you something. So I like to think of that shame as a gift. And because it's just telling you where you're misaligned, where you are not in alignment with how you want to be spending your time. And there's some clues there that we could then build on in terms of like what you do want to take action on and how you could fit that into your already busy calendar.
Yeah, I love that idea of the reframe, the productivity shame reframe, because we all know the myriad of reasons. I mean, we're not all experiencing the same reasons, but the challenges right now are obviously around focus and productivity are huge, significant and ongoing. Yet you mentioned something that I think is half the battle, which is what is most important? You know, what are my priorities when I consider my work, myself, my family? And it's easy to say, but this was already a challenge for people pre-pandemic. We're now really shining a light on it, right? And telling people to work smarter, not harder is totally unhelpful here. I think this is about recognizing when we're in survival zone, where we are more normalized around, you know, rushing, reacting, probably worrying. We're looking around. Others are feeling the similar. There's a lot of frustration. It's so easy to lose sight of what is actually most important. Like, it takes me back to just some of those foundational things, you know, the Stephen Covey stuff around, mm-hmm. you know, we can prioritize our schedule, or we can schedule our priorities. Mm-hmm. So that stepping back to just, you know, the half the battle of like, what is it that is actually most important for me right now? And of course, I'm gonna argue for us that how we're feeling and our physical and emotional energy is got to be in that mix, because without it, I don't think we can have perspective to support us be productive right now. So yeah, take that anywhere you like, Kristen. You know, I'm very interested in this kind of how we help people check in on, do I need to be kinder to myself, or am I really kind of avoiding something? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's something about when you are in the avoidance and in the shame that really that just, and I think this really speaks to what you're saying about the, what I call like energy management, which I know you talk about a lot, but, you can do that where you're sort of shaming yourself at the end of the day. And that's what you hear. And I never get enough done. I never complete anything. Look at me, I started that again. You know, there's that. And that built, that is like, has a compound effect, right? If you want to just like continue to look at that, and then that like builds on itself. Or you could move your attention, and it's a lot easier to have the perspective and be able to be the observer of your thoughts and actually move your attention when you have managed your energy, whether that's like exercise or nutrition or whatever it is for you. Meditation, you know, like all different kinds of things that you could do. Move your attention to what you have done. And even if it's like the tiniest, I like to teach people to like celebrate even the tiniest of little wins in your day and just start to pay attention to those. But at least I did this and I did this and I had this new client come in, or I had this, you know, like on my social media. I mean, it can be very small. And those will compound on itself. And then there's some momentum that builds when you just shift your attention to what you are doing. We're very good at telling ourselves what we have not done, not so good at telling ourselves and celebrate, because I think there's something that we tell, especially women, about like bragging, or, you know, it's like a perspective shift, but it really, there is power in that compound effect and celebrating those tiny wins, and they build on each other.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big proponent of that. And I would ask people to, you know, do that right now. And I do that with some of my clients. Like, what are three things that, you know, that went well for you today, and start to make that a practice? What are your thoughts on if we can tune into that kind of voice in our heads, you know, the inner critics that we all have, as we know, I think they get louder when our energy is lower and more negative. How do we figure out kind of when to give ourselves a bit of a compassionate kick up the backside, and when it's actually okay or time to pull back? I think this is the, you know, we know there's the, I think it's called dictamous thinking, the psychologists call it, is the kind of all or nothing monster. It's like, if I don't spend an hour on this piece of work today, or if I don't complete this plan, then I have failed. And perhaps the next step looks like, I'm going to gather a couple of inputs today and I'm going to look at my timeline. You know, I'm just going to do like one or two things to progress it. So I think it's the all or nothing monster is that if I didn't do all of it perfectly, then I failed. And I think that can lead to this double bind around, you know, further avoidance. So I'm really interested in this area of how we can help people find a little bit more of a middle ground of some sort of imperfect action, yet progress, but still be compassionate to themselves.
Yes, yes. So I call it sort of the messy middle, right? So I work with a lot of thought leaders on their someday when projects. So these projects that they put off until someday. So someday when I have more time, what I really want to be doing is starting a podcast or launching a new line of business or whatever it is. And a lot of times what I find is that exactly what you just described, the all or nothing mentality. Well, I just need some time to get away, and like, I just need like a week to just to myself, so I can think and I can really map this all out and just kickstart it. You know, I just, as soon as I can do that, and I will talk to somebody like 2 years later and they're still saying the same thing, right? Or, so that's like the all, and then there's, you know, all or nothing, right? So you don't do anything for 2 years. Or you could just like every day take a little 15-minute couple of actions, like you said, like just put some feelers out to a couple of different people about your ideas, and, you know, the next day you review what they get back to you with, or a quick like Google internet research or an informational interview, or just these tiny actions, but they are consistent. So consistently taking this, and it will, I often, the people that have this issue, I think need to tell themselves, like I put myself in this category, we need to tell ourselves that it's going to feel messy. It will feel like it's not enough. It will feel like it's messy and not good enough and all of that. And I'm still going to do it, and I'm still going to do it consistently. That's what's helped me personally, at least. So there's something about this, yeah, messy middle ground action, but consistent, that really does move the needle. And then it will eventually shift your all or nothing. I think when you start to pay attention to your all or nothing thinking, that also helps. And you can kind of ask yourself, but what could I do that's sort of like a micro action in the right direction?
Yeah, I feel the same. And I feel that imperfect action actually then starts to translate. You become more sort of trusting of yourself that you will feel some level of satisfaction and probably motivation around that piece of progress that you made, particularly then when you're working on things that are using your strengths or are things that you're quite passionate about, you know, or if you're doing it and you get it done early in the day and it's like, okay, that puts a little bit of a halo, bit of a step in your mojo, you know, for the rest of the day. So that's been a big learning for me and a huge piece of self-awareness, because, you know, I think I thought I was pretty good at that kind of messy action thing. But really, I had perfectionistic thinking around that. And the learning for me has been to trust myself more, that if I'm going to work on something for, you know, half an hour and I've blocked that piece, that time in my calendar, to do that and trust that plan and see where it takes me. And I'm going to say like 9 times out of 10, when I trust the plan and just work that plan, it pays off. You know, the ROI is huge for me. I, in my kind of, I don't know what I call it, it's not really a blog, but I, you know, I call it growth love, but I have when I send out a blog to my audience or, you know, people I'm connected with, this week I'm actually talking about time boundaries, just that idea of like holding almost with ourselves a time boundary and just giving ourselves just a chance to take some action on something that is going to be meaningful for us rather than the avoidance, because I see a lot of avoidance, but I'm going to say that avoidance, you know, once you acknowledge it, that likely it's coming from self-doubt or you're not sure like exactly, you know, you're fearful of failure or you don't know what the next step is. You know, there's also ways to work through that in terms of, you know, reaching out to others, or because overwhelm is not somewhere you want to stay. I think that's the issue. Like continual avoidance just is a huge drain on your energy and your mojo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's something about like using it as a cue, like when you do feel that overwhelm, to do something to shift your energy, whether it is, like you said, reaching out to somebody else or going for a walk or doing something. It's like a clue that you don't want to stay there, basically. Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's something really important about what you said about, like, I don't know what you called it, the halo effect or something. We're doing it in the morning. That I often talk about, like, 15 minutes in the morning before, like, if you can, before you check your email, like before the whirlwind of life and work starts coming at you and all these requests of your time will start to come at you. Like, that's just reality. So if you can carve out 15 minutes, and I promise everyone can carve out 15 minutes. I mean, I often like to put myself in the position of, a couple of times I've had to have like a major surgery or you have to go to a funeral or something, right? You're always able to, like, you find out one day you have to do that. The next day you're able to clear your calendar. Like, just look at it from that perspective. You can absolutely find 15 minutes, and you do 15 minutes in the morning working towards these things. And it just, your whole day is, like you said, halo effect. I like that. As opposed to carrying that energy with you, it feels heavy and you have that all day, and that isn't as effective.
Oh, and this is the tough love part, isn't it? That we can absolutely find that 15 minutes. Yeah. You know, and that's the, there's two things that come up there. It's protecting a time boundary for yourself, which has a direct correlation to energy, but also that you deserve that, like that self-worth part of, like, you know, you deserve to give yourself the chance. Like, it's crazy in our quest to be high performers that we often erode those boundaries. And in our very quest to be that high performer, end up being so other focused that we don't make progress on our own priorities. And so then we're not feeling, like, we're feeling shame and guilt around our performance. But the other thing that comes to mind here is, I love the work by, I think her name's, it's Dr. Neff, but I think it's Kristen as well, but I may have that wrong. But she writes on self-compassion. And she talks about, like, the sort of three components of self-compassion. I mean, you touched on one there, which is sort of that mindfulness, like just being aware of your thinking and then doing some things to help sort of get present with that, meditation, whatever it is, breathing, listening. The second thing she talks around is that self-kindness. And I'm seeing that with a lot of the leaders that I work with, like, they're very compassionate with their team members right now in terms of their expectations, but they're not treating themselves in the same way. So they're expecting, you know, I literally just had a conversation with someone yesterday, like, he's expecting so much more of himself than he is of his team right now. So that's the other piece around this self-kindness. Then the third bit is that we're all in this together. We're all facing challenges around our productivity, the level of disruption right now, the chaos that is going on in businesses, managers who are struggling to reprioritize, who are out of their depth sometimes around how to support their people at this time, companies pivoting, growing, struggling, like, there's so much going on. And yet we're all in this together. We all have these similar challenges around our productivity. We may not all talk about it like that, but we do. And we all have these inner critics and moments of self-doubt and those harsh internal voices telling us, you know, you're not good enough, you can't do this. So I think that self-compassion is really huge right now, but I also love that we're challenging on just taking some action on something that is going to help you feel more in control and more confident. And that doing that in some of these ways, just to kind of recap on some of these tips, Kristen, I think the, you know, spending 15 minutes on something, like something that is figuring out what's important for you right now and spending 15 minutes. So just kind of recap on a couple of those practical tips that you've come up with or things that you're seeing that are supporting people at the moment.
Yes. And I think there, I mean, there's something about like just taking steps toward where you're headed, right? So one of them is, I mean, maybe that's just like a mind map of what your future vision is for this thing that you're working towards. So there's, yeah, the tiny actions, there is the kindness to yourself, like you said. And one of the ways you can do that is really getting support from somebody else. Like I call it like outing yourself. So when you're feeling that shame to like just call a friend, text a friend, all the different mediums of communication apps these days, and let them know, like you can do it in this way. Like the story that I'm telling myself right now is that I'm getting nothing done and that I'm worthless and I don't ever complete anything I start and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just trying, and all you have to do is that, like just get that out of you and then pay attention to what they say back to you. And you're going to feel some self-compassion in what they say and they'll kind of redirect you a little bit. So there's something about that that just like helps relieve it. You can also do it like in a journal, but I really think somebody else reflecting back to you is really super helpful. And then there's something in here around, like we said, energy management and mindfulness. So when you use these shame feelings or whatever we want to call them as a clue to either take a break, go on a walk, you know, maybe it is a journaling meditation, something that will shift your energy a little bit. And I like to have like some go-to like energy shifters for you. I mean, maybe it's like some jumping jacks or I like fresh air. So everybody's different, right? I think it's different for everyone, but sort of some go-to things when you feel that way, but using it as a clue that you want to shift. And then I said mindfulness, but I absolutely believe that you are, when you're either, whether it's meditation or getting into nature or whatever it is for you, you having that time that's sort of out of the whirlwind of life and business, even if it's just in little tiny, you know, chunks, it doesn't need to be, it could be a 5-minute break, but you are the more you're able to be more an observer of your thoughts, and it's not like you are your thoughts, which is sometimes the way we feel when we are in the
always
whirlwind.
Need a reminder constantly. On that always need a yeah. reminder we are not
yeah
you are not yeah. your emotions.
Yes, exactly. So just proactively doing those things so that you can be the observer of your thoughts and not become your thoughts.
You know what, this is such a great place to wrap because it's just all coming together for me. You know, I am just on a mission to support more women in particular become what I call the chief energy officer of their lives. And, you know, that is, yep, chief energy officer, CEO, and it just links to this. It's like choose one thing right now that you want to make progress on. One thing that's meaningful for you that you want to make progress on. That's your C, that's your choose. E is for energy. It's counterintuitive, but once you've chosen that thing, do something to boost or support your energy. You know I'm a big fan of the 10-minute walk. I did an IGTV yesterday of my mojo chopping momentum move, 3 minutes. Like that's all it takes. Like, so do something for your energy, even though it seems counterintuitive. And then outcome. So that's the O. So then go for that action. Put it on your calendar. Try for 15 minutes. Try it in the first part of the day. But do something to move the needle, to stay afloat, to make progress, to take a small action on that particular outcome that's important for you. So that's the CEO. Choose energy and outcome. And I really appreciate you bringing some very relevant kind of for the now thinking to this, Kristen, because I think like you said, many of us are are thinking this and have this shame and guilt around our productivity right now and what we're achieving, because a lot of the people that listen to this podcast are high achievers. So there's really, you know, this thing going on and the languishing and all of that. So it's like our whole identity, right? And so if we can just out ourselves a little bit and then reframe this with compassion and think about some of the practical things, I think that, you know, we can all make some progress and experience that daily sense of joy that is proven when we are achieving things that matter. So, yeah, thanks for being here again, Kristen.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, have a great day, everyone. Keep practicing, be compassionate, and we'll see you soon. Thanks so much for being here and being part of the Grow Tribe. It would be amazing if you shared this podcast with others at home, at work, gave it a rate and review in Apple Podcasts, and shared any ideas about what you want to hear more about or who you want to hear from. I love to hear your updates. If you're interested in learning about how to become a Chief Energy Officer, you're looking to fuel your impact and your performance, could be you, could be your team, have a look at the link in the show notes about where to start. And as always, drop me an email if you're looking for any support or you've got any insights that you want to share on growth. It's Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, at go2grow.com.au. Thanks, everyone.